It's the dictionary.
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 Dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I'm recording this on March 6th at 4:36 in the afternoon. Changing up my schedule today. Hey, would you like to rate and review this show? I would sure be happy if you did that. That would be great. Go to Apple Podcasts, wherever you want to do that. Wherever you can rate and review a podcast, go do that. This is also on YouTube. My YouTube channel is at SpeedJamPar. The link is in the show notes. So go ahead, go there, share it, comment on it, like it, all those things. And obviously, you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel because then you get notified when there's new episodes, which are Monday through Friday, and then maybe some other fun little videos that I might make. Because I like to do other stuff, too. I just don't have so much time. What else? You can email me, dictionarypod@gmail.com. You can call the Google Voice number and leave a message, 917-727-5757. Who uses the phone anymore? Who makes actual calls? You can. You probably have a device that can do that in your pocket or in your hand or in your ears right now. Leave a message. I'm going to put it in a show unless you say not to. Social media is at DictionaryPod. Go look at the silly, cute little videos, photos that I put up there. I got a TikTok at SpeedJamPar. My personal is, I don't do anything with the TikTok really, but maybe someday. And my personal social media is at SpeedJamPar as well. You can buy merchandise for this show. There's a TeePublic link in the show notes. Patreon. $1 a month gets you very early episodes. I would say at least 3 to 4 weeks, sometimes more, sometimes less. It's how life goes. All right, whatever. Let's get into the words. The first word in this episode is ethnology. ETHNOLOGY. Noun from circa 1828. 1. A science that deals with the division of human beings into races and their origin, distribution, relations, and characteristics. So, of course, that's all about the ethno prefix, which was all about nations and peoples and how are you divided up in that way. So this ethnology science deals with how human beings are divided up amongst all those categories, races, where they came from, how they're distributed, how they relate to each other, what sort of characteristics do they have. That's probably mostly like cultural characteristics. Yeah, that's a big science. Number two, anthropology, which is basically the study of people and cultures, so it's similar. Anthropology dealing chiefly with the comparative and analytical study of cultures. Yep, right there, cultures. What are the cultures doing? How are they different from each other? Why do they do the things that they do? What made them be like that? What's the purpose? All that fun stuff. The synonym is cultural anthropology. I wonder how many cultural anthropologists prefer ethnologist or ethnology. What's the reason? What would be the reason there? I don't know. Cultural anthropology seems probably more accurate these days. Ethnology could be a little old. I don't know. Ethnological or ethnologic, those are adjectives. And ethnologist, that is a noun. Ethnologist. Okay, moving on. I gotta make a sound effect. Today it's gonna go. It's like a cat bird. I don't know. The next word is ethnomedicine. One word. The Brits like to say, they like to cut out a whole syllable. They like to say ethromedicine. Ethromedicine. This is a noun from 1971. The comparative study of how different cultures view disease, and how they treat or prevent it. Also, the medical beliefs and practices of indigenous cultures. That's where we get a lot of our knowledge these days, is what were the indigenous people doing? We took that information and then screwed it all up. But no, we still use it to some extent. I feel like we don't use it enough, though. Ethnomedical, that is an adjective. So, you know, especially indigenous cultures, but all cultures are going to look at medicine and look at diseases in different ways. You know, you just look at COVID. That was a pretty recent example of how different countries, different areas dealt with it in different ways and got different results. New Zealand did a very good job. They had like zero COVID pretty quickly. Granted, they are hard to get to and they are off kind of in their own little part of the world. A lot smaller, less people. But still, you know, they clamped down that on that pretty good. The United States, on the other hand, we had a leader in the United States that I think objectively, scientifically, medically, didn't make the best decisions, and we could have maybe tamped it down a little bit quicker. That's all I'm going to say. You know. So, yes, we all look at medicine differently. The different cultures are going to look at it differently. And I think that we need more indigenous medical information into our modern day stuff. You know, let's combine it both. The Eastern and the Western, the indigenous and the modern. Let's do that. Okay, I think that's it for that one. The next word is ethnomethodology. Ethnomethodology. Mouthful. Noun from 1967. This is a branch of sociology dealing with non-specialists' common sense understanding of the structure and organization of society. That definition was also a mouthful. Common sense is one word. I don't know if I realize that, or maybe in this context it is for some reason. This is a branch of sociology dealing with non-specialists' common sense, the common sense understanding from non-specialists of the structure and organization of society. How do they understand society? Interesting. Ethnomethodologist, that is a noun. I'm a little confused by this one. I'm not gonna lie. Ethnomethodology. I don't know. I think I need more information. Next is ethnomusicology. Yes, the word music is in there. Noun from 1950. Number one, the study of music that is outside the European art tradition. Don't know. What's the word that I'm looking for? That's very ethnocentric, I guess, to coin a whole study of something outside from a very specific group. Clearly, it was the European art tradition that probably coined this term ethnomusicology. Oh, anything that's not us is ethnic. But that's, you know, that's where the word comes from, I guess. So we got to deal with it. Do we have to deal with it? Can we come up with something else? Why does it have to be for outside of the European art tradition? For whatever reason, that's what they think is the base knowledge, the base, the where everything stems from. Nah, that doesn't make any sense. Number two is the study of music in a sociocultural context. A sociocultural context. So what's the music like in a specific sociocultural situation, context? What's the music of a culture, a society? They're all different, all over the world. There's a whole bunch of different musics, and they're great, and they're fantastic. Ethnomusicological. Ooh, yeah, that's right. That's an adjective. Ethnomusicological. And then ethnomusicologist? No, there's only one L. Ethnomusicologist. That's it. That's a noun. Yeah, it's, you know, basically studying the music of the world, right? That's pretty much all it is, I think. Next is ethnoscience. Noun from 1961. The study of a culture's system of classifying knowledge as its taxonomy of plants and animals. So how does a specific culture categorize plants and animals and things? How do you do your science? With that, that's different from the way we science things. That's fascinating. Maybe we should take on that method of sciencing. I like that. Oh, but I don't like that method of doing the science. Let's compare notes. Studying how they do science in different parts of the world. But we have also such a system in a particular culture. I guess the specific system of sciencing in a specific culture would be just ethnoscience. Seems, you know, you're making a point with the word to say this isn't just science. This is specifically science how we do it here. This science that we do here is ethnoscience because it's all part of our ethnic situation. Okay. We're done with the ethno words. Now we have ethology. So no N, ethology, ethology. Noun from circa 1843. Number one, a branch of knowledge dealing with human character and with its formation and evolution. I guess we'll get to the etymology in a bit, but we'll talk more about that soon. But it's about humans, right? Yes, a branch of knowledge dealing with human character and with its formation and evolution. So how does the human character, your personalities, all those sorts of things, how does it form? How does it evolve? This is probably cultural, you know, in a specific group. How does it change? How does human character change over time? But also maybe with a specific person. How does their character, their personality change as they grow up and get older? Number two, for ethology, this is the scientific and objective study of animal behavior, especially under natural conditions. So how do these animals behave in the wild, not in a zoo, not in a situation that they're not supposed to be in? What's their natural condition like? Out in the plains, in the woods, in the water, in the oceans? But once you take them out of that, they're in a cage, they're in a human-made situation, then they might not act the same. They might not live as long. They might live longer. They might get diseases. They might not get diseases. So you want to see what they're like in their natural habitat. Ethological is an adjective, and ethologist is a noun. So the word is from the Greek word ethos, or maybe ethos, not sure how they want to say it. Doesn't specifically say what that means, but we might get some more information because our next word is ethos, or as the book says, ethos. Is that right? I think it is. Ethos. I would definitely want to say ethos. That's how my brain wants to do that. But no, it's ethos. Noun from 1851. The distinguishing character, sentiment, moral nature, or guiding beliefs of a person. There's more. I thought that was like a semicolon. Of a person, group, or institution. All those things. So what does, let's just simplify it to a person. What does a person think? What's their moral nature? What do they believe is right and wrong and good and evil? What are their guiding beliefs? What's based on that moral compass? What decisions are they going to make? Why are they going to make those decisions? These are all part of your ethos, your ethos. It's distinguishing his character, sentiment. Yeah, but also a group or an institution, any sort of group. Maybe a corporation. Oh, these are our tenets. This is what we believe. This is our ethos. These are our ethos. Is there a plural? doesn't say. I want to say ethoses. What are our ethoses? It's all that stuff is your ethos or your ethos. What do you believe? Why do you believe it? There is a synonym, which is the 2C definition for the word ethic, which should be just a couple episodes ago. 2C, let's find that. That was just a guiding philosophy. I think I remember talking about that not too long ago. Yes. What guides you? Why are you guided that way? Okay, that's the ethos. Next is ethoxy. E-T-H-O-X-Y. Adjective from circa 1909. This is relating to or containing the monovalent radical CH3CH2O, and it is composed of ethyl united with oxygen. So there was that O at the end, which is oxygen. So does that mean that the rest of it is ethyl, CH3CH2? I still don't know why the C's and the H's are separated. Maybe it's all about how it's all connected to each other. Inter containing the monovalent radical. Yep, it's got that. That means it's ethoxy, and the oxy is the oxygen, and the F is the ethyl. They're coming together to make ethoxy. Here is ethyl. What's up, ethyl? E-T-H-Y-L. Noun from 1838. This is an alkyl radical. It's two separate words. Alkyl radical. CH3CH2. Yep, there it is. And it is derived from ethane or ethane. Ethylic. Ethylic is an adjective. I really got nothing else to say about these because I don't know this stuff so good. Yeah, it's from the Greek ethyl. Oh, wait, that's not Greek. That's German, which is now ethyl with an A and then ether and ether and all that. Yeah. Okay. We got some more scientific words because there's a bunch of stuff that starts with ethyl. Ethyl acetate. Two words. Noun from 1874. A colorless, fragrant, volatile, flammable liquid ester, a flammable liquid ester, C4H8O2, used especially as a solvent. What is it going to do? It's going to clean up some stuff. I don't know what solvents do. They do stuff. Yes, I think it's sound effect time. Ethyl alcohol, two words. Noun from 1869. The synonym is ethanol, which that was a few episodes ago. Ethyl alcohol is ethanol. Next is ethyl benzene, one word. Noun from 1871. A liquid aromatic hydrocarbon, C8H10, used chiefly in the manufacture of styrene. I've heard of polystyrene. Is that how the Brits say either like plastic or foam or something? I don't know. Ethyl cellulose, two words. Noun from 1936. Any of various thermoplastic substances used especially in plastic and lacquers. Chugging right along. Ethyl chloride, two words, noun from 1869. A colorless, pungent, flammable, gaseous, or volatile liquid, C2H5Cl, used especially as a topical anesthetic. So, it's going to make you numb, I guess, if you put it on your skin. If it's an anesthetic, I would think that would make that part sleepy and numb. Oh, my skin's just going to go to sleep for a little bit. I love all these adjectives. Ethyl chloride, it's got no color. It's pungent, so it's going to smell strong. Flammable, keep it away from the fire. It's a gas or a volatile liquid. That liquid is volatile. And there, what was the other one that had a bunch of good? Here we go. Ethyl acetate, also colorless. Fragrant. So it's got a smell. It's not a pungent smell. Maybe it's got a nice smell. It's fragrant. Oh, it's so fragrant. And it's a volatile, flammable liquid. Keep it away from the fire, because that you might have some problems. Flammable liquid ester. Okay, next one. Ethylene. Ethyl with E-N-E. Noun from circa 1852. 1. A colorless, flammable, gaseous, unsaturated hydrocarbon, C2H4, that is found in coal gas, can be produced by pyrolysis. I'm guessing that's something to do with fire because pyro is in there. Pyrolysis of petroleum hydrocarbons and occurs in plants, functioning especially as a natural growth regulator that promotes the ripening of fruit. And that's about as much as I can tell you about ethylene. But the book tells me I can say more. Number 2, a divalent hydrocarbon group, C2H4, derived from ethane or ethane. And ethylenic or ethylenic, those are adjectives. Well, that's it. You know, I had to speed through those because they were all very scientific-y words, and I got nothing. I got nothing for those. So we're going to move on to the last word, which is, oh my God, so many letters, so many syllables, so much of a pronunciation guide. Let's try this one. Ethylene diamine tetraacetate. Okay, you break it down, it's not so hard. Ethylene, diamine, you can also say diamine, people like that too. Tetra, I think that means 4. And then acetate, ethylene, diamine, tetraacetate. Oh, it's so easy when you break it into its parts. Ethylene, diamine, tetraacetate. I think that was 11 syllables. Noun from 1954. It's a salt of EDTA. And let's look back real quick. See if we can find EDTA very quickly. I think it's on this page. Yes, it is. I do kind of remember this. This is it's a white crystalline acid used especially as a chelating agent, preservative, and in medicine as an anticoagulant and in the treatment of lead poisoning. So it's a salt of that. Yeah. All right, let's pick a word of the episode. We had today ethnology, ethnomedicine, ethnomethodology, ethnomusicology, ethnoscience, ethology, ethos or ethos, ethoxy, ethyl acetate, ethyl alcohol, ethyl benzene, ethyl cellulose, ethyl chloride, ethylene, and say it with me. Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3. Ethylene diamine tetraacetate. And I believe we are going to have another fun one. Yep, in the next episode. Same word, basically. What's the word of the episode? I do like the ethos. What's your ethos? Why do you do? I'm saying the same words over and over again. What are my ethoses? My ethoses are be nice, have love and compassion and sympathy and empathy for all. It's not that hard. That's kind of it. You know, there's some other things, but that's kind of where it all is based from. Act with love. Yeah, that's it. That's my ethos. I guess that's a good... I do have to say ethos, though. I don't know why it's not in here as a possible pronunciation. That's very frustrating. My runner-up, I think, would be ethnomusicology. Because music is awesome. And music from around the world is awesome. So you should be listening to more music around the world, Spencer. Yeah. Ethos. Ethos. It's the stuff you believe in. Ethos. Hey, hey. That's fine. That's great. Let's talk about another movie that I watched. Okay, let's see. I think I said that one. Chicken Run 2. That's not what it's called. It's called Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
Dawn of the Nugget.
Super fun. If you like the first Chicken Run, you'll probably like this one. The characters are great. Acting is great. Sets are great. Animation is great. Just super fun all the way around. I think it went straight to Netflix. And, you know, I've been enjoying animation, especially stop motion animation, my whole life. And when I was watching it, just I couldn't help but think, like, these are physical things that exist in the real world that people animated and did such a good job. And, like, between the characters and the props and the sets, I mean, it's all about, like, these really smart chickens who are build these fun things and contraptions and stuff, and it's just so fun to see, like, that's just real life stuff. I wish I could have, like, been there to see it all happen in real life. I just enjoy that so much. So, you know, if you watch it, just think about that. There were humans physically animating this stuff little bit by little bit, and oh, it's just so fun. Okay, that's it. That's the end of the episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show. Go tell your friends. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.